Today is May the 20th, 2011. And so today I will finish up the discussion we've been having for the last 2 or 3 weeks on Ishwar Pranidhan and practice of meditation. I'll get it completed today so that we'll move on to the other aspects of our practices, the shuddhis, next week on. So today I will complete what we've been talking for about the last 3 weeks on Ishwar Pranidhan. So today I will review it. If you have any questions on our topics from the past, you can review your notes, look at anything you have there, and get the clarification today. As you know, most of our classes are being recorded, so I'm not going to be repeating once this is complete. So unlike for last many years, last 10-15 years, I've been repeating the topics, but now once the topic is complete, it's complete. So let's just review what we've talked about and see if you remember the core concept, core ideas. Ishwar Pranidhan, we talked about Ishwar Pranidhan. What is Ishwar Pranidhan? What is Ishwar? What is Nidhan? And what is Pranidhan? Ishwar Pranidhan. Nidhan. What is Nidhan? Nidhan means? Then Nidhan means? Abode, a place where you deposit. It's a depository. Nidhan means a place where you deposit. Place, which is a shelter. Where things are sheltered, where things are deposited, is Nidhan. Prakrishta rupena nidhana ityarthe pranidhana. Prakrishta, special way, high quality, supreme kind of way, is prakrishta rupena nidhana. So the supreme shelter, supreme abode, is pranidhana. Nidhana is abode, pranidhana is a prakrishta abode, prakrishta shelter. That is pranidhana. So it is an abode, it is a shelter. Shelter of what? What is it an abode of? Remember?
It's an abode to deliver your propensities.
Right.
Into.
So it's a supreme abode of all propensities of all beings. And we say Ishwar Pranidhana. Ishwar, what does the word Ishwar mean? Ishate ityarthe Ishwara. Ishate. Ishate means Isha. The verb, root verb Isha in Sanskrit means to control. Ishate means controlling entity. So Ishwara means one who controls everything. This Ishwara. We talked about different meanings of Ishwara. One meaning is Ishwara means supreme controller. Another meaning of Ishwara means one who has all the Aishwarya. Aishwarya means occult powers. There are 8 occult powers that we talked about. One who possesses all these occult powers is Ishwara. And one who is beyond klesha karma vipaka ashaya, one who is beyond affliction, actions, and its reaction, is Ishwara. Here what is relevant is Ishwara means controller. And Ishwar Pranidhana means to gather all propensity, to withdraw all your propensity from all objects, and to channelize into the supreme abode is called Ishvara Pranidhan. That supreme abode is Ishvara. So, to collect all your propensity and then to channelize it into the supreme shelter, that is called Ishvara Pranidhan. That is why the practice of meditation we do is called Ishvara Pranidhan, because what we do in that practice, we take all our propensity and merge it into that supreme one entity. When you think about carefully, what that means is that all your propensities, your mind is a representation of nothing but collection of many, many propensity, isn't it? What the mind is. Mind has its vibration and mind has its momentum. Momentum means its tendency to do something, tendency to run after certain things. It's like a momentum. So mind possesses this momentum, and this momentum comes from where? From the different propensities. So propensities put the power in the mind to move in certain direction. Restlessness of the mind comes from different propensities. So in Ishvara Pranidhan, in our meditation, we are taking all this momentum of the mind, which is all prospects, all aspects of the mind, and then withdrawing from every place that it goes to, and then channelizing into Ishvara. That is why it's called Ishvara Pranidhan, and that's why our meditation, the English word is meditation, but actually what it is Ishvara Pranidhan. So we should remember that that is what our meditation is all about, ultimately. Okay. Now, we talked about Jiva Bhava. We talked about Jiva Bhava means individual identity, I-ness. I have a feeling of I am, I exist. I-ness, this feeling of I-ness that persists in each one of us, is a little different in each one of us. Everybody thinks that he is such and such. I am Ben, I am Lena, I am Shubhada, I am Saril. Saril doesn't think I am a Ben, Saril thinks I am Saril, because Saril has his own identity. And this identity, this I-ness, feeling of I am, this is who I am, this is my entity, this is my existence, this I-ness is your Jiva Bhava. And this Jiva Bhava persists at the Muladhara Chakra in the form of what we call Kundalini. Kundalini is this, the sense of crudest I that persists in you. And as you know, everything is vibratory, everything in this universe is nothing but vibration. Everything has vibration. Your thought has a vibration, existence has a vibration, you know, your hand has vibration, fingers have vibration, your feet, everything has vibration, everything has its own vibration too. And sum total of all your vibration of your body, everything is being radiated from this Kula Kundalini, from your Muladhara Chakra. And this is, we said, is called what? Entitative rhythm, right? It's an average of all vibrations persisting, and your identification with the crudest I is being radiated from Kundalini. In English, we call Kundalini what? What do we call Kundalini? Lina, do you remember? What is the English word? Ben?
Spiritual energy?
It's a very general term. More specific term is what? Ben, do you remember?
I don't remember the...
Okay. Do you remember?
Coiled. The coiled serpent?
Coiled serpent.
Sleeping divinity. sleeping divinity. Why do we call sleeping? Why do we call divinity? Right? So Jiva Bhava is a divine in nature because it arrived its existence. It derived its existence from the original Shiva Bhava. And that is why Jiva Bhava is also the spiritual self. But that Jiva Bhava is dormant, because you remember we talked about, we haven't really talked about too much about it, Sanchar and Pratisanchar. That through the Sanchar Dhara, through the flow of Sanchar, what happened? Everything became more and more crude and crude and crude and crude and crude. And the power of the static Tamoguna was extreme. And from that extreme existence of the solid came the formation of the original Jiva Bhava. And therefore, original Jiva Bhava contained the very crude existence, domination of Tamoguna. As it progressed through the Pratisanchar, eventually came existence of life as we know, containing, having this vertebral column. Every life force with vertebral column has an active kundalini. And so this kundalini obviously is sleeping because it's not aware of its Shiva Bhava. That is why it's called sleeping. It is divinity because divinity persists. Sleeping because it's dormant of its nature of being Shiva. It is dormant of that nature. That's why it's called sleeping divinity. Now, this kundalini is, as we said, radiates entitative rhythms, vibrations of your existence. Then we said that this identity that persists in the kundalini is not a static thing. It's a dynamic, it's a changing. Our feeling of I-ness, who we are, is not static. It's changing. And environment and situations constantly influence it, and our I-ness, our identity, our perception of self changes. We say that we develop greater attraction for those that are in our proximity, physical and psychic proximity. There are two types of them. So closer you are physically to somebody, the more greater identity you develop with that person. And similarly, closer you are psychically with somebody, you will develop one even greater proximity. You may have a child, but child may be living in Boston. And so there's a big physical distance. But that child will always be closer to you than a neighbor's child, which is living right next door to you. Because neighbor's child has a physical proximity, but your child has psychic proximity. So physical and psychic proximity define our I feeling, our Jiva Bhava, and our relationship of liking, dislikings, and all these things gets programmed into us as our sanskara. And our sanskara persists within us in every pore of our existence, every atom, every molecule, every cell of our body is riddled with sanskara, and our whole being is being receiving momentum according to the sanskara. We say that the name, our name, has this I-ness. We develop our name with that identity, and we say, my name is Ben. My name is Lena. My name is Shubhada. As soon as somebody says Shubhada, certainly you startle. Who called me? As if that word Shubhada is you. You feel so attentive, attached to that word, that wherever in thousands of people you heard the Shubhada, there might be five Shubhadas, but you will jump, yes, that's me, Shubhada. You know, so even in sleep, somebody calls you, wake up, you see. So because this name is an identification of self, and gradually having that name with you and being addressed in that way, what happens? You develop certain vibration with that sound of the name, and the sound of the name with its letter, that sound, shoo, immediately. Maybe there's a bada coming after that. So this affects our identity, our I-ness. And as I said, that this I-ness, this identity radiates through this kundalini. Now, mantra is something, the definition of the word mantra is mananatariyat yastu saha mantra parikirtitaha, one that liberates the mind to specific sound, liberates mantra through the specific sound is called mantra. And we will be talking much more about mantra later, but for the time being, mantra is a sound, and mantra also has a vibration just like everything else. So if the vibrations of the mantra are consistent with the vibration of your entitative rhythm, then those vibrations of the mantra can transfer the energy into the entitative rhythm that are being radiated from you. What happens is when two vibrations come together, each vibration, assimilate the vibration of the other vibration. When you put two colors together, if you put red and white together, red becomes more white and white becomes more red, and you end up with pink color. Similarly, when you have superposition of the mantra, vibration of the mantra, and we call that what? Incantative rhythm, right? So incantation of the mantra, when superimposed on the entitative rhythm of yourself coming from your kundalini, then eventually what happens is that the entitative rhythm begin to assimilate incantative rhythm of the mantra and gradually adapt the quality of that mantra, and in the process purifies the cruder vibration into more subtler vibration. So this is how meditation works. This is how the application of mantra works in the meditation. That it is not simply just repeating like japa kriya. The difference between japa kriya and Ishwar Pranidhan is this. And that is mantra chaitanya. We'll be talking about that. So the mantra has to be alive before it becomes effective. Now we say that process of diksha, process of initiation, diksha comes from diksha, deepa jnanam. Di means deepa jnanam, ksha means kshayanti, ksha means to destroy. So diksha means a process of enlightenment, which in turn then destroys the papa, destroys the sanskara. It's called diksha, and feminine gender is diksha. So in this process of spiritual initiation, two processes, two things are involved. One is di, one is ksha. Mantraghat, when the purpose of meditation is to first awaken the kundalini because it's a sleeping divinity. Secondly, to enlighten the inner self as if to create light within so that kundalini can proceed. And then to actually move kundalini forward. All these three things have to be done. Awaken it, enlighten it, and move it forward. All these things. So And we've talked about all of these things, so I'm not going to talk much in detail of it. You can go back and listen to it, but I will just go over the main points. And that is that mantraghat is a, when you receive an appropriate mantra that we talked about, that the one with the appropriate incantation, incantative rhythm, that mantra creates a mantraghat on the kundalini, impacts the kundalini. And because of its proper nature of the rhythm, which is consistent with the entitative rhythm of the kundalini, what happens? Kundalini awakens. And this is called mantraghat, an awakening of the kundalini. Deepajnanam, Deepani Shakti. Second point is Deepani Shakti. Deepani Shakti means enlightenment within. In practice, what that means is when we are practicing shuddhis in our meditation, prior to actual repetition of the mantra, what do? You do shuddhis, right? So these shuddhis basically results into deepa jnanam, enlightenment within. So this is the second aspect. Once you have created the, once you have awakened the kundalini and created the enlightening path for the kundalini to move, then by application of the mantra, then what happens? That kundalini moves up. And purpose of meditation is to raise kundalini from Muladhara Chakra all the way to Sahasrara Chakra. Kundalini, as you know, in the Muladhara Chakra is in its crude, it's a jiva bhava in its crude stage. And the witnessing entity is Shiva, but Shiva is called Shava. Depending on what it is that it witnesses, there are different names given to Shiva. Shiva is called Shava when witnessing the crude stage, because it's witnessing the most crude material stage. Shava also means what? Shava means death, right? Some Shava means death, Shavasan. So Shiva is called Shava. And in Sahasrara Chakra, Shiva is called Supreme Shiva, Parama Shiva, because it's the witnessing entity, is Purushottama, witnessing entity of everything, supreme witnessing entity. So the purpose of meditation is to raise the kundalini successively, stage by stage, guide it through different chakras till it reaches Sahasrara Chakra. And kundalini and jiva bhava then unites with the Shiva bhava. And in the Sahasrara Chakra, you have Shiva, and Prakriti is called Shivani or Kaushiki. And this is basically the spiritual journey. Okay. So we have Deepa Jnanam, we have Mantraghat, and the third item is Mantra Chaitanya. Mantra Chaitanya, we talked about last time that Mantra Chaitanya means what? Ben, do you remember Mantra Chaitanya means? Mantra Chaitanya means, Saril? Mantra Chaitanya means awakening of the mantra. And basically, you see that proper conception of the meaning of mantra is Mantra Chaitanya. We said last time that if you don't know what something means, then that thing does not have very much effect on you. For you to develop a closer relationship with something, you have to have a proper understanding of that person. If you don't know what it is to be a father, how will you fulfill your duty as a father? If you don't know what it means as a wife, how will you have a proper relationship with wife, and so forth. So any type of relationship requires proper knowledge, proper understanding of it. So for mantra to have, for us to have effectiveness of the mantra, you must know the meaning of the mantra, and this is called mantra chaitanya. Without the proper meaning, relationship would not be properly established. And mantra chaitanya, when one understands the proper meaning of mantra, proper relationship is established with Paramapurusha. And what is that proper relationship? What is the proper relationship which is a result of mantra chaitanya?
What's the result of it? The waking of the kundalini.
Bhakti. Yeah. Devotion. When one understands what mantra chaitanya, meaning of the, you know, proper meaning of the mantra, what happens? Devotion arises. Determination arises. Determination for spiritual elevation, determination that I must achieve spiritual elevation. This determination comes only after one has established in Parama Bhakti. And this bhakti only arises after having proper understanding of Mantra Chaitanya. So Mantra Chaitanya is awakening of the mantra. Mantra Chaitanya, which means the result of it is awakening of devotion, bhakti. Without bhakti, I said it is not possible to do sadhana. Without sadhana, bhakti may be possible. But without bhakti, the real sense of sadhana is not possible, will not create any result. And so is Mantra Chaitanya. If you practice meditation without Mantra Chaitanya, you may repeat mantra thousands of times, but it will not be effective. For mantra to be effective, Mantra Chaitanya and proper sentiment of the mantra must be established in your meditation. Mantra Chaitanya is not just some kind of a dictionary meaning of mantra, some kind of a logical meaning of, no, it's not that. Mantra Chaitanya means at the sentiment level, at the level of sentiment, proper understanding of mantra, which then results into your commitment to this, what it is that you're doing, the goal of your meditation. Once devotion arises, everything is automatic at that point. Everything becomes automatic. Spiritual practices become automatic, effective and successful nature of it becomes effective, proper karma, proper seva, proper action, proper knowledge, everything comes from the fountain of devotion. Proper knowledge also arises, and true knowledge only real knowledge only arises from properly awakening devotion. And so as good karma, satkarma is only properly possible with awakening of the bhakti. Without that, there is every possibility of downfall and development of ego, and ultimately, downfall of self. So this is what Mantra Chaitanya is. This is what awakening of mantra means, and Deepagyanam. Now, Deepagyanam is a result. Deepani Shakti comes about as a result of proper practice of the Shuddhis that you have learned in your first lesson. So Shuddhis are extremely important. If you don't perform your Shuddhis properly, your meditation will be wasteful. You will not be able to properly meditate. So without Shuddhis, it is like not having the light within. If you don't have light within, there is no way to guide the mind. So Shuddhis are of prime importance, and that is the difficult part of meditation, is the Shuddhis, purifications. And if you recall, we talked briefly before, and I'm going to repeat that in future classes, that this should these go through the process of pratyahara, dharana, and dhyana. All these things are woven into your shuddhis, and that is what makes shuddhis a difficult process. One has to conduct proper dharana, proper process of dharana, and proper process of dhyana and pratyahara. So this is all, you know, 70-80% of your meditation, your struggle within meditation is related to shuddhis. So we'll be talking about shuddhis in future weeks when we get together. But right now I just want to make sure that you know what it means by Ishvara Pranidhan. You understand what Deepa Jnanam, Deepani Shakti, you understand the goal of meditation. Now, the Muladhar through Swadhisthan, this whole, your spinal cord has energy channel within it. And this energy channel is called Sushumna Khand. Sushumna Khand is a physical, psycho, spiritual energy channel within your spinal cord. And within this larger Sushumna Khand lies another nadi. Nadi is a spiritual channel also. It's called Chitrani. Within Sushumna Khand is Chitrani. And within Chitrani, there is another energy channel. It is called Brahmani. And Brahmani channel contains the spiritual fluid. And through this Brahmani channel, the Kundalini actually rises through Brahmani channel, step by step, crossing different chakra. And as you may recall, that each chakra is what? Is basically where the Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna cross each other. All three cross each other. Those are the locations of the chakras. Now, and when we talk about dharana and dhyana, which we'll be talking about in future weeks, I'll come back to this subject more. But for the time being, that all that you need to, that I'm talking about here, is that the Kundalini travels through the Brahmani channel. Brahmani channel is a purely spiritual, 100% spiritual channel. And what happens as a result of Mantra Chaitanya? What happens? As a result of Mantra Chaitanya, what happens? There's a development of devotion. Once you understand mantra, meaning of mantra at its sentimental level, what happens? Devotion arises, and as a result of devotional awakening of the devotional sentiment, what happens? It creates a strong attraction toward the cosmic entity, cosmic spirit, supreme consciousness. And as a result, what happens? A vacuum is created within the Brahmani channel. A vacuuming force from Sahasrara Chakra is created as a result of, as I said, bhakti, devotion. Understand?
Yeah.
And as a result of this vacuuming force, Kundalini rises. Kundalini rises. Because of the proper practice of the shuddhis, the chakras have opened up. Therefore, Kundalini can actually travel through that. That is why proper practice of Should these and other practices, asana, proper practice of proper diet, proper asana, and proper physical and psychic health is important, because they affect your chakra. Your diet affects your chakra. Asanas, proper practice of asanas affect. So having done all of these things, and the chakras have opened up, and when the vacuum has been created in Sahasrara, then and Kundli has been awakened through Mantraghat, and it has been enlightened within through Dipani Shakti, and when the mantra has impacted on it, then what happens? It rises. So you can see so much is involved before Kundalini can rise. And then successively, step by step, Kundalini crosses different chakras. And as Kundalini crosses different chakras, starting from Muladhara, it crosses Swadhisthan, then Manipur, Anahat, Vishuddha, and Agya Chakra. Then what happens? Different forms of samadhi practitioner experiences different forms of samadhi, and each form of samadhi practitioner experiences greater and greater proximity with Supreme Consciousness, with God. As Kundalini rises, there is a greater attraction, greater identity with the Supreme Self is created. And this is called different stages of samadhi. So we have Salokya Samadhi, Samipya Samadhi, Sarupya Samadhi, Sayujya Samadhi, and Sarshti. These are different forms of samadhi. Samadhi means what? Means suspension. Suspension of mind to a certain extent. Suspension of the mind means suspension of these propensities that we talked about. Depending on the level of suspension, one experiences different form of samadhi, which is Salokya, Samipya, Sayujya, Sarupya, Sarshti, and so forth. These are all different forms of what we call Savikalpa Samadhi. And the result is a result of the Savikalpa Samadhi is called what? Mukti. Mukti, or in English we call it liberation. And ultimately, when Kundalini reaches the Sahasrara Chakra, the form of samadhi is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, non-qualified state of samadhi, and the Sanskrit term for that is called Moksha. So, through the proper practice of meditation, one experiences the different forms of samadhi, and that is why in Ashtanga Yoga, samadhi is also considered one item of Ashtanga Yoga. It is not simply the goal only. It is something to be practiced on regular basis. Because once you experience samadhi, it is not permanent. Because eventually, because of the pressure of sanskara, the samadhi will not persist. Samadhi will break eventually. And Kundalini will fall back down. So one has to keep clearing the path and keep raising Kundalini until it's permanently established and the sanskaras cannot disturb it anymore. And that is why seva, samaj seva, social service, seva is very, very important. Because of the seva and purity, not only the fact that by seva you purify your mind, you see, not only that, but it is a vehicle through which you are discharging your sanskara. Because as long as sanskara persists, even if you have achieved the moksha, even if you have achieved the nirvikalpa samadhi, it's going to keep falling back. you know, you're going to have to pay your debt. You have to pay your debt. And you can start paying your debt while you have not achieved the samadhi, so that your debt is less. It's like you are a student taking a student loan. You know, you can wait till you graduate, get a job, and then carry the whole burden of debt to pay. Or while you're trying to get your degree in the college, you get a side job and say, hey, I'm going to start paying off some of my loan, so I won't have as much burden down the line. And that is why, and it has multiple benefits. It also, you know, purifies the mind and improves your meditation. So, okay, that's my end of the talk on Ishvara Pranidhan. We spent, what, about 3 weeks talking about it? And it is a very important topic because it is the central topic. It's central to our actual practice of meditation that we're doing. It's very important that you understand this properly and you practice it with proper understanding. What it is you're doing, why you're doing, what it means, how it works, what are the different components involved in your meditation, and why each component is important. All these things we have talked over the last 3 weeks. In next thing we'll talk about is the actual shuddhis, practice of shuddhis, which is the deep jnanam, deep nishakti that we talked about earlier. But then it's a little bit more actual practice related. This is the foundation of meditation, our practice of meditation that we do. Okay, this is it for today. If you have any question, otherwise.
And I do, it's harder for me to sometimes focus on the lower chakras. It's
yes.
Like the mind already wants to go up here.
Yes.
So I guess my question is it always relevant to go through when it's saying, you know?
Yeah. It's a very good question. It's a very, very good question. Very good question. And it is true. I've also experienced that once you feel good, once you feel pure, purified and everything, mind just wants to go straight up. Doesn't want to, you know, go to the lower chakras. And so what you should do when you do shuddhis is you still should go there, but, you know, move out quicker. But it is good to do proper vacuuming in every corner of the house. You know, although it looks clean.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is very true. For example, let's say if you do a Akankirtan or something, at the end of a Akankirtan, mind, body, everything becomes so pure and clean. You sit down and do your shuddhis and you just don't want to go there to the Mulada Chakra. You just want to go up. So start from there and your dharana will be very fast, you know, and your shuddhis will be very fast. Bhut shuddhi will be very fast, almost instantaneous. That's one thing about Akankirtan. At the end of the Akankirtan, Bhut shuddhi is without any effort, complete. And then Asan shuddhi, you will see very quickly you'll be out of the lower chakras. But it is good to practice everything up and down, you know, through a proper discipline. So good question. Yeah. Today we completed, you were a little bit late, but we completed our talk on Ishvara Pranidhan. Any other question? No? Okay.
The only thing I was thinking about, and I don't know the answer to it, but it's because when you're opening up the Brahmani channel and it has a quick flow, just logically you'd think that it could return back down because the channel's open as quick as it goes up. But,
yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I was just...
Well, Brahmani channel it's there always, and the channel is open, and as long as the pressures of sanskaras is there, it's going to tend to pull the kundalini down, right? Because what is sanskara? Sanskaras are the crudifying elements of your jiva bhava, right? Sanskaras are crudifying aspects of jiva bhava that separates it from Shiva bhava. And they are there. And your meditation is a struggle against those crudifying forces to overpower them and to establish yourself into the Shiva bhava. So you did overpower and you did reach to the higher stages. But again, while you were inattentive, it came over you again and knocked you down again. And that will happen. As long as sanskara persists, you will keep doing that. And that is why samadhi is to be practiced, not only to be achieved, it is to be practiced. And successively as you, and what will happen is that as the kundalini rises through this brahmani channel, for example, it will cross Swadhisthana, and then it will cross Manipur, and then it will be blocked, it won't be able to go further. And then it will fall. Then you try again. Again it will go through Swadhisthana and then maybe not even to Manipur, it will fall again. So you keep trying year after year after year. This is one thing. One of the most important quality of the spiritual practitioner is somebody who is persistent, never quits. Keeps doing it. And you just never know, suddenly you will cross. It's like practicing music too, you know. You feel like, gee, I'm really never going to get this song in the rhythm. But you keep practicing every day, and suddenly one day it's just, boom, it happens, you know. Whether it's in the rhythm, whether it's the scale, you know, you're trying to sing high notes, and you just feel like your voice falls apart. And suddenly one day you're just able to go there, you know. So you never know. I read someplace in Baba's books that it said that you just don't know. Realization may be just around the corner and you don't know that. You just feel like you're still struggling on a path that you see no end to it, you know. But you may be just around the corner from reaching your final point. Which means you don't know until you're almost there that you're there. And which also means that people fall to almost perfect stage and they have to start all over again. So all these things are possible. Okay? Next week.